Thank you, Mark, for that excellent introduction to the whole book of Psalms. And I was thinking about 150 Psalms, really, and it's really like the best of, like Shane would say, a mixtape of the best of Israeli worship over a long period of time. And you think about, there were other lists in the Bible of different kinds of collections of music or poetry or songs, and here you have 150 Psalms that are the best of, right, compiled from the worship leaders and the songs of Israel. How challenging would that be to come up with the best of 150? And they weren't just the best of, they were ordered in a specific way, because there are five books within the Psalms that kind of match the five books of Moses. So the compilers were obviously very aware of that, that there's five books of the law, and so they arranged these Psalms in five different books. And we're going to be looking at the psalm in the second book today, which is more of the pre-exilic psalms that were written during the kingdom of David before the nation of Israel went into exile. So, give you a little bit of that. What would you do if you had to pick 150 songs that summarized all of American culture since we became a country? What would you pick as songs? As the best 150 songs of American culture, what would you pick? Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Yes, dear to Mark's heart. Right there, you go. America the Beautiful. Right, you think about our American culture and heritage, and yes, Yankee Doodle Dandy. So yes, we're kind of going way back to some of these songs that have been part of our life and our culture for a long time. Anything more recent that you'd put in an anthology of the best 150? Yes. Party, okay. Miley Cyrus making the top 150, yes. Country Road, all right. So we got some favorites, yes. Let It Go. So we, you know, that's been repeated enough that maybe that could, if based on just repetition, that could be in the top 150 right there. But how hard it is, right, to pick the best songs. Ken's thinking of Iron Maiden right there. No, I don't, that might not make it, you know, and maybe Bob's thinking of Dixie Chicks. But, you know, it's like we all have our favorites, you know, the Beatles, you know. Nobody mentioned, Dave, nobody mentioned any hymns. What about Fanny Crosby, right? 8,000 hymns like Blessed Assurance, big part of American life and culture. What about, you know, in terms of our life, Christian songwriters, right? Kevin's got some favorites, right, Kevin? Chris Tomlin would be one of your favorites. Michael W. Smith, right? So Stephen Curtis Chapman, Mercy Me, Casting Crowns. So many, if you had to pick 150, it's pretty tough, right? Well, we get to look at the best 150 songs and psalms from Israel and how they describe our God and our relationship with our God. So I get to pick my favorite. And I wanted to pick a psalm that kind of would be a good psalm to introduce the series, that talked a lot about our confidence that we can have in God and our trust in God in a difficult time. So if you could only pick one psalm, what would you pick if you could only pick one psalm out of 150? Do you have a favorite? Psalm 3. Okay, excellent, right there in the beginning. 139, that's a really good one, powerful. What's that? 37, okay. I pick Psalm 46. As a great psalm to kind of introduce the series. I've asked Gary Castle to come up, and Gary's going to read for us Psalm 46, because he's got a great voice to read a psalm. It should be on.
I didn't hear my finger tap. So Psalm 46, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made the desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate that. Outstanding. So, I know you can't all read this very well, but I want to give you an idea of a little bit of the structure of this psalm, because we are going back and we're studying ancient poetry, and they use different technique, and they really didn't rhyme when they tried to do their poetry. But I want you to notice is that in this psalm, there is a main theme. Just like if you were writing a research paper, there's a main theme, and there it is in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And then I want you to notice that there's some detail about what that means in terms of just the cataclysmic sort of world events. And then you have, in verse 7, you have a refrain. So you've got a refrain, like you're singing a song, and so it's sort of a repetition of the main theme with the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And then you have another stanza, some more detail, this time related to war and how we can trust God in the midst of warlike situations. And then we get toward the end, and that my favorite verse, really, one of my very favorite verses in all of the Psalms, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Such a hard thing for us to do today, to be still and know he's God. And then we have the refrain again, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. So the psalmist is giving us a pretty good idea of what he really wants to communicate with us about God being our refuge, our strength, that we can trust God in challenging situations. This is kind of funny to me, but that, you know, here we've got these three main thoughts, you know, God being really our fortress. And I was just thinking as I was watching Gary up on stage here, we have three castle men on stage. So in a psalm where we're talking about fortresses three times, there are three castles on stage. So I just think God has a sense of humor about that, right? That perfectly illustrates what we've been talking about. So So I broke it down into three different sections that kind of made sense to me. And the first is just verses 1-3, the Lord is our safe place. The Lord is our safe place. And so here you can see the first three verses in a little bit more detail. You can read that a little bit better. So God's our safe place. We can be filled with the courage of the Lord, you know, in challenging situations in our life. And he provides strength. He's a fortress. He's an ever-present help in trouble. And the verse is going to describe something here that looks like uncreation. You know, we think about Genesis chapters 1 and 2 and the creation event and how God is forming something out of chaos. But in these verses, it seems like the anti-creation, doesn't it? It's like there's foment and there's just all kinds of stuff happening cataclysmically to the earth and to the very fact that like mountains are being thrown into the sea. And it's like, wow, I mean, this is like world apocalyptic, end of the world kind of stuff here happening. And the psalmist is saying, even, you know, poetically, if all this were to happen, or, you know, maybe eschatologically, if this were to happen someday, we can trust our God. We can trust our God in the midst of these, you know, huge, huge world events that are happening. It's kind of like Noah's flood. The psalmist, though, is confident in his God in the midst of all of this. He's confident in his God. So I was just thinking about, you know, what about our lives and our application to our lives? And we fear sometimes global events, don't we? What are some of the things that are happening today that cause us fear and concern that are happening. What's that? Ebola. Okay, so sort of like world disease, and you every now and then there's some kind of contagion, and we're thinking, oh my gosh, it might sweep the world. So there's one right there. Anyone read the news the last couple of days and see some of the events that are happening around the world? And I mean, we've got, you know, you think about things like earthquakes, and you've got typhoons in India, these kind of things. Things, acts of God that are sort of like out of our control, like a tower crane falls on cars. And, it, you know, the news article in the paper said satellites have a whole new reason to fear now that we never feared before. And it's like everybody's looking up, oh my gosh, look at all the tower cranes. You know, we've got more tower cranes than any city in America. So suddenly we're kind of, you know, fearful of that kind of stuff. So forest fires right here, you know, in the state of Washington in the West is something that we can be very concerned about depending on where we live. There are some that are, you know, live in fear of global warming. And so there's all these kind of, these cataclysmic sort of world things that we are fearful of. And the psalmist would tell us, you can trust God to be your refuge, to be your fortress, you know, to be your safe place in the midst of whatever kind of fears you might have coming down into your life. And yes, yeah, certainly these things are out of our control, but our God is bigger than all these things, right? He's bigger than all these things. So even in a world like that we live in, where there's devastation, we can trust our Lord. So that was the first one. The second one that kind of hit me as we read these middle verses is, the Lord is our holy place. He's our safe place, but he's also our holy place. And you look at the contrast from those first verses that talked about, you know, mountains being thrown into the sea. And now you've got this picture of Jerusalem as the holy city. And there is no river or stream in Jerusalem, but, you know, in terms of poetically, or when we think about Eden, the Garden of Eden, a river of life going through Eden, then you think about the New Jerusalem, heaven someday, and there's a river of life going through that New Jerusalem. But here's this poetic picture of the city of Jerusalem, and God Most High dwells in the midst. And the holy place, of course, is the sanctuary, which would have been there during the time of Solomon and before the exile. And so you've got this presence of God in the midst of the people where it's like, we've got God here, right? No matter what's going on around us in the other nations and, you know, globally, we've got God in our midst. You know, nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. I mean, you can kind of hear the poetry of that, even in our English language. And then he says, the Lord Almighty is with us. And do you know what the Hebrew words are? Some of you probably know what the Hebrew words are right there. Yahweh Sabaoth, which literally is the God of angel armies, right? There's a song about that, the God of angel armies. So, you know, all this stuff's going on, but we got God here in our midst, a powerful, almighty God, who's got the angels at his disposal. And so our God is a safe place, and he's a holy place for us, right? He's a holy place for us. I can't help but think of some of the prophets, though, that would warn the psalmist and say, like in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 2 to 15, the prophet says, don't cry out to the temple and think the temple's going to save you. And the prophet saying to the psalmist, You know, this is about abiding in the Lord. Joel used the word abiding in our men's breakfast yesterday, one of our favorite words here. And this is about, you know, Israel, you have to be obedient and abiding in the Lord for this relationship to work out where God is present with you. And so, you know, later on in Israel's history, there were invaders, Babylonian invaders that came in, and the temple, they were no longer were in the temple. And so, they had to move to other places before they could finally come back. And so, you know, but we today, we can trust in our Lord to be in our midst, can't we? And he's our safe place and our holy place. You know, you think about Israel today. How many rockets I read this morning? 600 rockets that were fired from Gaza into Israel. And now there's the Israeli response. And so it's just that area is just crazy right now. You know, there are those kinds of things happening around the world. We, you know, we think about active shooters here, right? That's a great fear that we have, active shooters that maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago we weren't even talking about, and that's a fear we have. But in the middle of all that, the world we live in, we trust our God to be our holy God and our safe God, and a one that we can come to and find peace in his presence, peace in his midst, and he makes a difference. I was kind of amazed at being in Israel and seeing life go on. People were getting married. There were bar mitzvahs in the midst of the tension around, and that's a picture too of us. We enjoy God in our midst, even as life goes on and we're faced with challenges. The third one for me was the Lord is our quiet place, with my favorite verse, be still and know that I am God. And this is God breaking into the scene. I love this because we've been talking about God, and now it's actually the voice of God like breaking right into the psalm, and God saying, be still, know I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And it's God speaking directly through the psalmist to us. And the word still here means cease or desist. And it's like a parent breaking up a fight. Like, hey, that's enough. You stay there. You stay there. Be still. You know, no more of this. And so you think about how in our fear, in our anger, we can respond in all kinds of ways. And yet God says, no, be still. Be still. Know that I am God. In the middle of whatever you're going through, the best thing for you is just to relax and be still and be in my presence and know who I am and meet me in this quiet place. And our lives can be filled with frenetic activity, right? Just all kinds of activity. Stillness is not something we do well in American culture. You know, we're not very good about relaxing and being in the Lord and having Sabbath sabbatical times where we stop and we enjoy the Lord and we're in relationship with him and we're not trying to get something done, right? We're a people that likes to get stuff done. And we've got our lists, and yet the Lord would say, be still. You know, take confidence in me that in this moment of stillness, the rest of your life is going to be, it's going to go on. It's going to be okay. You know, but I got to get this business done, or I'm going to get behind in my, well, you know what? Trust the Lord with your business. Well, I got so much to do at the house. Well, trust the Lord with your house. Well, my kids have so many needs, or kids are like, I got so much school assignments. Well, trust the Lord can take care of that by putting the Lord first in that time and just enjoying him in that moment. I think oftentimes we preach about or teach about the things that we need the most. And I've been talking to the men's retreat speakers about the topics that they chose for the men's retreat. And some of the guys have said, boy, you know what? I'm speaking to myself. That's the topic I need the most, and I'm speaking it to the guys. And I feel like that's what I'm doing this morning. This is what I need to hear for me, that I can be confident in the Lord and relax in him and be still in him in the midst of all the busyness of my life. Yesterday, Margie and her teammates down in Costa Rica called because they'd been in prayer, and they said, we just felt overwhelmed with a sense of urgency that we need to pray for you. And so can we pray for you right now? And so they prayed for me, they prayed for our family, and they just had this, you know, they had been having this time of prayer, and they just felt like we were the ones they needed to be interceding for. And so they all of them got on the phone, and they were all pouring out their prayers with a sense of emotion and urgency that goes beyond the way I normally pray, and I received that from them. And one of the girls said, I have a verse the Lord's given me for you. And she goes, it's this. Exodus 14:14, she said, the Lord will fight for us. You need only to be still. So that was the verse she gave me yesterday. And I'm like, wow, God, you have something to say to me about this, don't you? Because that's my theme for tomorrow. And yet you're wanted me to hear that for me, that the Lord will fight for us. You need only to be still. Right? Everything in a warrior wants to fight. I got to fight. And God says, no, I'll do that. I'll do the fighting for you. You just be still. That's the best place you can be in me, is to be still. And this Exodus 14:14 was Moses stopping the Israelites before they went through the Red Sea. And here are the Egyptians that are now going to be coming after them. And so they're between the Red Sea and they're between the most powerful army in the world at that time with their chariots and all their weaponry. And they're coming there. And Moses is saying to the people, the Lord's going to fight for us. You need only be still. That's a hard thing to do when the enemy's coming. It's hard for us too, because we have a lot of things out there that may feel like enemies, that may feel like just huge obstacles in our way and difficulties and challenges. And every one of us can think of a list of those things in our minds right now. And yet the Lord says, no, be still. Be still in me. I am your safe place. I'm your holy place. I'm your quiet place. That's what God's saying to us right now. So it's a psalm of confidence. And I hope that you felt that this morning, that this is the psalmist saying to you, you can be confident that God is in charge and he's got it figured out. He's got it figured out. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to get ready for our communion experience together.